Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the psalm which we chanted a moment ago, Psalm 146. The last five psalms in the book of Psalms are known as the final Hallel. Each of them begins with the word Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Walter Roers writes in the Concordia Self-Study Commentary, they sing hallelujahs in untiring variations and reiterations. Likewise, our Psalm 146 begins with a great hallelujah, and it ends with a hallelujah. And after the opening hallelujah, it varies it. Halleli nafshi et yaveh, praise the Lord, O my soul. And then there's another variation on the theme, a hallelah, I will praise the Lord while I live. And then after these three variations on the hallelujah theme, the verb is changed to a zamerah, I will sing praises to my God while I have been. And that's what we've been doing this morning, and last week was a whole feast of singing praises to the Lord. This resounding praise of God springs from a heart that trusts him and looks to him alone for everything good. By contrast, the psalm warns us not to trust princes. In fact, not to trust human beings. For when the chips are down, they are totally unable to help and save. Roers comments, even the most powerful men are but mortal earthlings, crumbling into the dust from which they came. Isaiah warned the Israelites that the Egyptians, to whom they were looking for help and for alliances, they were merely human beings. They were merely bazaar, flesh, not ruach. They were not spirit. In chapter 2 of St. John's Gospel, we hear how our Lord did not entrust himself to the sign seekers of his day, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone testify about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Our Lord knew, our Lord knows the deep deceptiveness and sinfulness of the human heart, and he placed no trust in princes and other human beings. Yesterday's epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians tells of how the egotistical and competitive Corinthians were placing excessive confidence in human teachers. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and so on. Instead of placing all of their trust in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Martin Luther warned Germany's evangelical princes not to trust any of their advisers too much, for these advisers could prove to be fawning flatterers with their own agendas. The prince had to see with his own eyes and check things for himself. Do not put your trust in princes, says our psalm. And then, for Luther's variation, if you're a prince, don't put your trust in your advisers either. Don't place excessive confidence in any human being. It seems to be rather a bleak picture if we leave it there. But the psalmist goes on to tell us where we can place our unqualified trust. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, and so on. Our Lord is totally reliable and dependable. As St. Paul loves to say, God is faithful, pistos hothios. And unlike human beings, he has the power to really help. He's the creator of the ends of the earth, the seemingly infinite expanse of the heavens, the enormous circle of the earth itself, the sea and everything in it, the whales, the sharks, the bluefin tuna, and all that sort of thing. He's a God of inexhaustible power, strength, and resources. As Isaiah tells us in the 40th chapter, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor grows weary. There is no searching out of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so we can confidently call on our God in every trouble that besets us personally, or our families or friends, our seminary, our church. We can with all boldness and confidence pray, praise, and give thanks. In that regard, Cornelius, whom we heard read about earlier, Cornelius, the faithful God-fearer, is an example to us of quiet Christian confidence. He is typical of the Gentiles who come to the Epiphany light of Christ. We see from our psalm text that we can't place unqualified trust in any human being, but we can trust our God without reservation. But is the picture that our psalm paints of the human being so totally bleak? Are our fellow human beings a totally untrustworthy bunch? The answer is yes and no. Yes, insofar as they are merely fleshly and behave in fleshly ways, relying on fleshly and worldly ways and means. But the answer is also no. Wherever God has worked his justifying and restoring power and raised up his saints, God's saints, by his grace, are transformed more and more into trustworthy people. Psalm 125, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever." Wilhelm Lea wrote that those who trust the word of justification receive quiet, confident hearts, which patiently hold out in the battle of life. By embracing the word of the Lord, who is called a rock, they begin to take on the nature of a rock. St. Paul was blessed with many colleagues like that. Timothy, whom he called faithful in the Lord. Tychicus, a beloved and faithful servant in the Lord. Epaphras, a faithful servant of Christ. Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Timothy was encouraged to train faithful men who would be able to teach others also. We'd call them seminary students. But besides these faithful fellow workers, above all, the apostles' ministry bore the blessed fruit consisting of countless humble Christians whom he called, Colossians 1 verse 2 and other places, faithful brothers. I remember talking once with my predecessor in the parish in the Adelaide Hills, Pastor Janetsky. Pastor Janetsky had left the parish to serve in the theological section of the Lutheran bookstore in Adelaide, but I'd sometimes call in for a chat with him. On one occasion, we were talking about the charismatic movement, and he made a rather memorable comment. He said, "The charismatic movement grows lettuces. Our business is growing oak trees." Isaiah called such faithful people oaks of righteousness. Happy are the people who become oaks by steadfast and patient faith, little oaks planted and nurtured under the shadow of that great oak, our Lord himself. Happy are the people, in the words of Psalm 144, happy are the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are those whose unqualified trust is in him alone. Hallelujah. Amen.